Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the MCR Intern Show, and our topic today is the mystery of sex transmutation.
And then today you have Taylor Delmas and
Barry Logolo.
Today will be our last Blog Talk Show for the summer, as is my internship ends tomorrow and
my internship ends today.
It's been a lovely time here. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed talking with you all and you all listening. It's been great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a good time.
Alrighty. So today we're going to speak on Big Girl Rich Chapter 10, The Mystery of Sex Transmutation.
Probably the most controversial of all.
It's just real. Like, it just puts certain things in perspective. See, what I like about it is, mm-hmm. if you get over the whole, oh, my God, sex and transmutation, like, what does that mean? And you apply it to different things within the chapter, mm-hmm. then it actually, like, it's really cool and it really makes sense.
I don't think the shock comes in the fact that it's a taboo in a way to mm-hmm. speak about it in the society. I feel it comes in the fact that he's very vague in how he puts his point across.
But he does it every chapter, though. He wants you to come up with the concept and the ideas for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Mystery of the Sex Transmutation, the 10th Step to Riches. He defines transmuting as the act of bringing one energy outlet to another. So you're taking your desire or your expression of one thing and transforming it into a different thing. And then he defines sex as being one of the of a mind stimuli. In this chapter, he starts in the beginning saying to not think of, when you say sex, as a shock factor, as you mm-hmm. said, about just physical expression.
Mm-hmm.
To think about it as something else, like raw power and emotion, something of that sort. So today, we're going to discuss that. Basically, in this chapter, he wants us to develop or to get the mindset of taking that raw power and emotion that comes with sex, or the physical expression of sex, and turn it into something more productive or more effective. And that's really what the whole chapter is about, in my opinion, is taking an expression that you have that is not so productive
mm-hmm.
and that doesn't give you a way to rise above and turn it into something that is. It's kind of taking that, oh, I'm going to go read a book instead of taking that.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's what it is. What mm-hmm. about you?
I feel, he says that sex is the most natural and
powerful of the human
powerful desire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of a human. And like he spoke about desire, it's that drive that you get from within
mm-hmm.
to push yourself in a certain direction. So, ideally, he's focusing on the grassroots, like the origin
mm-hmm.
of a certain desire and how you can direct that type of desire into something that pushes you forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then to go along with not just talking about the sexual desire, he goes on to list the 10 mind stimuli. So basically, the 10 mind stimuli are expressions or feelings that bring about the most change and that the mind freely responds to the most. The first one being the desire for sexual expression, love, a burning desire for fame, power, or financial gain, a.k.a. money, music, which is my personal favorite, close friendship between either those of the same sex or those of the opposite sex, a mastermind alliance based upon the harmony of two or more people who ally themselves for spiritual or temporal advancement. And that's what we talked about in last chapter mm-hmm. for mastermind, for the mastermind group and the power that it has. See, because he leads it into this chapter talking about the power it has is something not easily seen, but it's mostly self.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have people that you can vibe with on a spiritual level, all for the same key goal
mm-hmm.
or like key goals, then that's something that the mind is going to act upon. It's going to drive you to move forward. There's also mutual suffering, such as that experienced by people who are persecuted. Auto-suggestion, which goes back to an earlier chapter, where if you keep And I feel like this one can either be a positive or negative thing, where you keep that repetition just sticks in your brain,
mm-hmm.
like gum on a tree. You put more and more and more, and it's just going to get covered.
Mm-hmm.
There's fear, and then there's narcotics, and there's alcohol.
Yeah, so I feel in this chapter, he's mostly speaking about how to find a source of a desire,
mm-hmm.
of a budding desire. And we not only have to speak about sex, we can
mm-hmm.
speak about all these other desires
mm-hmm.
that you've mentioned.
That stimuli.
Yeah.
Or expression.
Yeah. So if we talk about experience, I could talk
mm-hmm.
about something like if somebody says, somebody you were trusting to give a good opinion about yourself
mm-hmm.
say something negative and you want to prove them wrong,
mm-hmm.
you'd have that burning desire to, like, shift your attention towards your goals and stuff like that.
And what stimuli does that come from?
Anger?
Yeah. It could
yeah.
be anger.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a close friendship because you said it was a friend.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the burning desire for fame, power,
mm-hmm.
name and power being like acknowledgement, that positive acknowledgement being that person.
Mm-hmm.
Fear
can also be a very strong stimuli.
Oh, fear is
yeah.
definitely a very strong stimuli.
Yeah.
That's why so many bad instances and instances have happened in the world because fear can dominate the entire mind if you let it.
Mm-hmm.
Fear can be a positive thing. Fear of poverty can make you want to gain your riches or want to gain financial stability,
mm-hmm.
or fear can weigh on you and make you say, I don't want to do it because I'm afraid
mm-hmm.
I'm going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about the stimuli are that even when he explains it, there's negative and positive. He doesn't try to flush it out or try to cover, I don't want to say like coddle you in it. He's like, all right, it's sexual, it can be love, it can be money, it can be music, or it can be narcotics and alcohol. And I've seen that a lot in the African American community
mm-hmm.
and in any ethnic community, because that's what happened to the Native Americans. So my understanding of history, mind you, I learned my history in public school, so you know some of it's misconstrued.
Mm-hmm.
we know some of it's a little misconstrued, but I learned that when the Native Americans were given alcohol, that's when we started to see a decline. That's when that stimuli from alcohol really led to the decline. But I learned my history.
That's
public.
That's
education.
What you were taught?
That's what I was taught.
Oh.
But you see how crazy that is? Because you can relay the history that you were taught, and someone's like, that's not what happened. Because
yeah.
I learned that in, like, high school, in AP, a college class, U.S. history class, and then my teacher was one of those, like, woke teachers, as you can say,
mm-hmm.
and then he taught us outside the book, and he was like, that's not what happened. They drug these people, they hurt these people, and it was literally a mass genocide
mm-hmm.
that white people cover up.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just going to talk about that a different day.
Okay.
I can
yeah.
go on and on about that one. But I know personally for me, one of my stimuli are music, and the other one is narcotics and alcohol. Not, like, key drugs. Like, I'm not talking about that. I don't do cocaine. But a lot of people in my family choose marijuana or CBD as one of their expressions.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, I know personally my dad chooses tobacco for one of his expressions. And I feel like if each of us took one of our negative mental stimuli and turned it into something positive or transmuted, as he says, into something creative
mm-hmm.
or a more productive outlet instead of me smoking for stress relief,
mm-hmm.
why don't I just go take a jog or go write it out
mm-hmm.
or something that if I do it, something better will come out of it
mm-hmm.
because I can either go run, lose some weight, get a little healthier, or I can smoke and burn my lungs out.
Mm-hmm. So, ideally, he's speaking about self-control.
Mm-hmm.
So, you control your desires to do something negative
mm-hmm.
to shift it into something positive,
like
something that drives you towards your
mm-hmm.
goals.
He says it's the start wheel of the physical action,
mm-hmm.
but anything that started can be stopped.
Yeah.
So,
that's what I said. Yeah, you just need the right, not condition,
mm-hmm.
but the right mindset.
See, that's what I said. Once you get over the shock value of the mystery of sex transmutation,
mm-hmm.
it's really not about sex. It's about, like you said,
mm-hmm.
self-control. When you look a little deeper into
mm-hmm.
it, it's about taking what stimulates you, taking what drives you,
mm-hmm.
and choosing what to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right. So in what he describes as a positive stimuli is desire for sexual expression, love, a burning desire for money, fame or power, close friendship, a mastermind alliance. And then he says there's two negative ones. The two are destructive. When he explains it, he says two are destructive and eight are positive. He never tells you which one. So what, in your opinion, are the two negative stimuli?
The negative stimuli
mm-hmm.
out of the list you mentioned?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see the list again.
Because I had a feeling for mine. But
narcotics and alcohol?
Mm-hmm.
Fear?
But these are all of your own personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's very subjective.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But if you look at facts, those
mm-hmm.
two would most likely lead you to just give in to them.
Yes. I feel like for mine, it's obviously narcotics and alcohol. And then to me, some of these can be pretty negative. Like love, sometimes when you love too hard and you follow too hard,
mm-hmm.
you can leave yourself on a wayward path. I know for this, remember we were listening and you said this is kind of controversial because he was like, you can lead yourself to a better life by taking that sexual expression and change something positive,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of controversial when you have a love in your life because this is, in his opinion, the second most powerful mind stimuli.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have love in your
life. It's like contradictory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have love in your life and you stop all sexual expression, how does that affect your love?
Mm-hmm.
And then he also goes on to say that love is supposed to be one of those expressions that combined with the right person will lift you up into a better life. But
yeah.
Does it most of it? Like,
it does. You always have to find the right person. That's the problem with mainstream media portrayal of love.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that doesn't free. It's something that binds.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, love is an expression that frees. You get? So it's like if you have to be with somebody, they have to abandon everything else and just be with you.
No.
And that's, like, what they portray.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that is causing most relationships to go wayward,
mm-hmm.
because somebody who's in that kind of cage has to find a way out.
Yep.
And that's where all the cheating comes, all the, you know,
mm-hmm.
all those things. And, it's a good expression, but it's, the knowledge we have of it from mainstream media is construed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, moving into stimuli, I just keep sitting here thinking about it. Like, how does it personally affect me? Like, auto suggestion. Like, growing up, like, when you grow up and you see certain things happen so much, they become normal to
mm-hmm,
you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had one friend who asked me, like, why do you smoke? And I was like, as I grew up, that's literally all my thought.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it was normal. But then I go and talk to other people, and smoking there is a taboo
mm-hmm.
because they don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like some of these stimuli, all of them can be negative, and all of them can be positive
yeah.
in the right way. Because narcotics technically is medicine.
Mm-hmm.
People forget that drugs are medicine, and some of them are legal, some of them are illegal. Some of them are come from prescribed doctors. Some of them come from the doctors and pharmacists. Some of them come from street pharmacists.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, with this chapter, it's literally very subjective. It all comes on
to how you use it
yeah.
and how you perceive it
mm-hmm.
and what you've grown around, like the environment you're around.
Yeah.
And also I feel like it's kind of depends on the time you're living into.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like you said smoking. So, like, previously, even pregnant women were told to smoke, right? You see, like, that makes me feel like there's some science, some things we're doing that in a few years it will be like, why are you doing this thing?
Mm-hmm.
So it depends actually on the era you're living in,
mm-hmm.
whatever knowledge base you've been exposed to at that time and stuff like that.
Yeah. And
yeah.
then at our last point, he defines what a genius is. And I felt like, to me, a genius is also very subjective to. To me, let me help define what he says. A genius, in a better definition, is an individual who has discovered how to increase mental intensity and concentration to the point where he or she can freely communicate with sources of knowledge not available through ordinary levels of thought.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty elaborate.
So basically, like, mm-hmm. to me, in my
opinion,
because mm-hmm. like when I read stuff, I have to put it in the way that you have to translate it.
Mm-hmm.
So in my translation, this means like someone who can think on a different level. Someone who could think not higher of you because of, like, they have certain degrees, but someone who could think on a level that you haven't gotten to yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like working your way to the top mentally. Mm-hmm.
So
it's opening your eyes.
In your expression, in your definition, it mm-hmm. does mean somebody who's older because, you know, experience also creates those levels.
Mm-hmm. Someone who could think of something in a different way. Like, everyone thinks differently about schooling. This one's
kind of
hard for you.
I feel his definition
mm-hmm.
is more elaborate than what you're trying to explain because
yeah.
it's the general view of what a genius is.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who's found a way to harness all this knowledge
mm-hmm.
and create this knowledge base around them that they can come up with something new, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're not bound by the physical needs, or not needs, but like the structure or environment they're living in.
Mm.
You get, like, let's say Albert Einstein.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks about things that are still being proven right now, you see? So it's something that is created from...
He was thinking outside of his time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Not like his time, though, but like...
Outside of the knowledge of that time.
No, even right now, there are things
yeah.
that haven't been proven yet, you see? So it's like something that's very hard to define just because we can't really physically quantify it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I think that kind of summarizes the whole chapter.
Because today, kids who like have like 50 degrees are called geniuses.
Yeah.
But they are, because it's hard to soak in all that knowledge at such a young age. And then, for me, it's not just soaking the knowledge in, it's being able to explain it,
mm-hmm.
being able to apply it. Like, if I get all this knowledge from school based on accounting,
mm-hmm.
and I can't do the work
because mm-hmm.
I don't understand it, mm-hmm. but I pass the test,
mm-hmm.
to me, that's like a failure right there.
So you have to be able to transform it into action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's where he goes into the sixth sense of creative imagination, taking all that knowledge, taking all your thoughts, your thought impulses, your stimulations, and everything you're feeling
mm-hmm.
and that you knew, and making something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally what this book wants you to do. It wants you to take all your feelings, even from like the 10th, we have like 3 more principles left,
mm-hmm.
but from my other sense of what I believe this book is taking all your feelings, all your knowledge, and all your raw passion, and making something out of it. He literally just wants you to do something.
Yeah.
And then doing something doesn't always entail that you're going to have the greatest success. But if you try hard enough and you do it the right way, and meaning you taking your time to plan, then 9 times out of 10 you have a better, what is the word? You have a better chance of gaining success.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's what this book's trying to do.
Yeah. So basically the whole chapter is about channeling your desires into positive action
mm-hmm.
to drive you towards a specific goal you have set in mind.
Yeah. Taking stimulations or certain expressions that are natural to you,
mm-hmm.
that are very powerful to
mm-hmm.
you, like sexual expression is powerful. Love is powerful. A need to gain, whether it be fame, power, or financial gain, is powerful. But then also taking the expressions of fear in the expression or the stimulation that comes from narcotics, alcohol that people can get hooked to, taking all of those and doing something positive with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can take the desire for sexual expression and transmute it into creative creative energy or creative expression, not doing something positive and more productive, or you could take your need for narcotics to alcohol and you could make art from it.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of like famous artists did. They
literally, when you have the edge, you go to something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was all for the chapter.
Yeah. Thank you all for joining us for our analysis or discussion today.
Thank you for joining us for the last couple
of episodes we've had.
Yeah, we had some pretty good. Our last episode was our best episode.
Yeah.
No one can tell me different. I really enjoyed doing this. I really do like discussions because I like hearing what other people
think about
the same thing. And some people really do open your eyes. Sometimes when they open your eyes, they're a genius. You've opened my eyes, going to open my eyes to different aspects of the world that I couldn't see, not because I was ignorant, because it was never there.
Never something you thought about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Me too. I've had the same kind of eye-opening experience. Yes. From talking to different people about different things and having to think about one thing in several different ways.
Yeah.
So we are about to end our episode. Is there anybody with a question? Okay, I see no question, so we're going to end it here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.